us because he first loved me once more to me. To be in the house of the Lord this morning, remembering prayer, the ones on vacation, so the Lord will strengthen them. I think that they prevent your families on vacation. Am I right, Brother Craig? Yeah, there's something about vacation that they have. So remember them in prayer, though, the Lord to just keep them. One quick announcement before we get to the Word. Normally we have communion the first Sunday of the month, which is next Sunday. But Brother Brian will be returning late in the afternoon, in the evening, with a brother from Russia. And it would be good for the brother to have communion with us. And the following Sunday, for months now, I have purchased my ticket to go to Indianapolis for some special services. So communion will be the 15th of October. I'm sorry for that, but that's the way that it is sometimes. October the 15th. So the brother from Russia can take communion with those that desire to do that. Studying the Word of God, we are in a subject now that is kind of nervous about the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the more you study that, the more you realize that a human being, there's nothing that they can do. God has to reveal, God has to help, God has to show. And studying this portion now, I don't know if that subject, if I will ever finish. I might get to other subjects through variation. But when you study the revelation of Jesus Christ, you study everything right there. And remember in prayer, the ones that they're overseas, were very soon now, in a couple of 3 weeks, I will be preparing a very huge shipment of thousands of books, the books that see the boxes there on the hallway and so on, to go overseas in many parts of the world. So remember, so these books can fall into the right hands, because I believe God has a predestinated people, and you and I had a privilege to find that, or heard a message, and some of these people want to hear the same message. So remember them in prayer. We were working on Colossians, and in Colossians, of course, this is tape number 7. In Colossians, we start studying about the revelation of Jesus Christ. And last Wednesday, I'm just going to make a couple, 3 points as a background to continue with this study this morning. In the tape, Christ, the mystery of God revealed, or the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's a threefold revelation of Jesus that tape discusses. It's volume 63, number 52. And the 3 points, I'm trying to condense the materials and then get into the materials, because it's very important. Paragraph 89, it says this: the first thing was that God wanted to reveal himself to the people. God wants to reveal who he is to the people. And the more simple we make it, the better we're going to be. If you can think for a minute in your mind that here is God somewhere, I don't know how he looks like, I don't know how he feels, I don't know what he believes, I don't know anything about it. And all of a sudden, he wants to show me who he is. Now, in God was attributes. Attributes is what He is. He was a Savior. He was a healer. He is love. He is this, that, all the way down. All these attributes, God created a body, which is the body of Jesus Christ, and in that body was the attributes of God. That body was not born under sin. Of course, He was never, you know, He was a virgin born. The seed came by the Holy Ghost and so on. So really, there was no pollution there, and the attributes remain unpolluted. And you say, what did He do? He came down to redeem you and me. And when He want to redeem me and you, what He, Christ, have accomplished, He want to reveal Himself to His people, who He is. So by looking at Christ, you know what the Supreme Jehovah has done to make a body to dwell in. You understand that. And when you start looking at the laws of God in the Old Testament, you say, Brother David, what is the law of God? Okay, you go through the Pentateuch, and then you continue. You might go through the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, and you read there, thou shalt not kill. And that tells you right away God is not a killer, right? Thou shalt not steal. It tells you that God doesn't steal. And so what happens, even in His law, He reveals who He is. And the second point was in paragraph 91, that is to have the preeminence in His body of believers, that is, His bride, that He might live in the people. The preeminence is the firstborn, or should I say the first to have the authority. Nobody else can have the preeminence except Him, to be the first among, to be the superior, to excel. That's what He is. So, and the last point is in paragraph 130, to restore the kingdom to its rightly position that fell by sin, by the first Adam, back to where he walked in the cool of the evening with His people, talked with them, fellowship with them. You say, what that means? Means a restoration back to the original state. So what was it? God was in Adam and Eve dealing with them. And what God is going to do for you and for me, God is going to be in me and in you start dealing. So really, when you see, as we're going to see a couple of three things this morning, when you see, you react and you do something. Do you know it can be God or Satan? The bottom line. Gray lines, there's not with God. If we fail, we repent. We say, Lord, forgive me. That's it. So there's no gray lines with God. But God has to give that spirit in you and in me, and now Christ dwells in you. And what is it? Christ and the Word is one, so the Word of God is dwelling in you and dealing with you to convict you and restore you back to God. Now, you have some evidence sometimes. So let's say that in this oratorium here, we don't have any lights. The first thing Brother Craig is going to do, he's going to see if the switch is on, right? What is it? We don't have any lights. Or if it's not the breaker or the company that provides the light. So you look at it, you find the causes of it. And I'll give you a real quick evidence sometimes. The evidence that Satan is taking over me and you is when we look somebody else instead of ourselves. How do you like that? He'll beat you up to death. He did this, she did that, they did this. By the time you get through, you're so dizzy, so they did this, they did that. Probably, you know, nobody's good except me, with other words. And then at the end, you just slide down because you lost your contact with God. So you got to remember, your eyes must always stay on Him. Because of these three full revelations of what God is in Christ. And last week we were reading, we were reading Colossians, the first chapter, and we started from the 9th verse, and remember, 9th all the way down to the 22nd, 21st verse is one complete thought. And we know now in the ninth verse, Paul heard something about some people. So he wants now to instruct them. And I believe that you and I, we need the instruction of God, don't we? We don't want to be religious. We don't want to just go to church and do religion. You know? I appreciate sometimes everybody what they do for the Lord. You know, I saw little Cordell coming up, not bashful, and playing, you know, here his song. And that's nice, isn't it? That's nice to say, I'm giving glory to God. I'm not Beethoven, but I can do what I can for God to scream and say hallelujah. So now Paul heard about these people on the ninth verse, and for this cause, he says, since the day that we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Isn't it beautiful? Now Paul enters, should we call it the intercessory prayer, pray for them. We hear things that we don't have the burden of prayer sometimes. We don't pray for somebody. And we say, now, what are we doing anyway? What kind of Christians we are? We can get cold. You know why? The things of the world can choke the glory of God out of us. The cares of life, the Scripture teaches us. We get involved day and night. Oh, you say, Brother David, I just work and just go home and then go and relax. But just remember, your mind, where it is. Sometimes your body might not be at the job, but your mind can be constantly until 12 o'clock, what I'm going to do, this and that, and so on, grieved from the job. You're familiar with these things. The devil beats us up. And the faster we are able to close the avenues that's beating us, so closer we are to come in contact with God. I was studying about faith. I'm far behind my study. Studying about faith. And this powerful verse, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence with God. We cannot have faith when there is an obstacle between you and God, me and God. Correct? We have to restore it. Get it out of the way. Lord, you help me. And then God takes over from there. So faith is God's Spirit, God's gift in you. You say, Brother David, the spirit of faith is in me. You see, you cannot work nothing out. The only thing you do, you let the Spirit of God work in you and remove the obstacles between you and Him. Or you say, I thought I can buy faith in a store. I can go to an evangelist and give me faith. Some people are confused the difference between positive thinking and faith. Positive thinking is not faith. That's Christian Science doctrine. You try to trace back and find out at the time of Abel. It says, in Hebrews, tells us what Abel had done. What did he do? He offered a sacrifice. Who told him to offer a sacrifice? It was a revelation, wasn't it? That's what it was. So you go to the book of Hebrews, and tells you, by faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. Where did you get it? Tell me. Look at Abel. Where did he get the faith? And what did he do? Then you find he was justified before God because he offered a more excellent sacrifice. You have justification by faith through the sacrifice of the blood. Here is your plan of redemption right from the beginning of the time of Abel. The Word of God doesn't change. We change. We make a mess. We splice things to make what we feel they're supposed to be. So now Paul entered in an intercessory prayer on the ninth verse. And there are two key things that we mention. And I'd like to mention them right now again. Because you have to stay with it. And to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul is speaking about, and to desire, he had a desire, epithymo, means something in me, not because I think so. There's a burden in me, Paul says. I want to see you to do something. And then he says, that desire might be filled, he says, with the knowledge of His will. And remember, that knowledge is not the knowledge of the world. It's the knowledge of God. And we took two words there. You remember last Wednesday. Gnosis is knowledge. And that's where the Gnostics came from. You know, the Gnostics were religious people. Do you know that? They want to know, they want to know, they want to know. And you know what? One of the biggest problems that they had, the Gnostics, you know what it was? The Gnostics was, of course, that's where it came, Gnosticism, from Gnosis. It's a form of a system, it's a philosophy, it's a religious philosophy. They want to find out, where did God come from? Where did Satan came from? And they try to find out, if God is God, how come he didn't beat out Satan from doing this and that? They don't understand, it's by revelation. But Paul here, instead of Gnosis, he speaks about epignosis. Epignosis means something that God has to reveal. Something superior to the knowledge that no man can reach except God can talk to you. Listen. You sit sometimes and you enjoy a sermon. Sometimes I listen to a denominational man from time to time, very rarely, from Atlanta. It's a great preacher. But something vacant right there. It's an emptiness. The only thing we tell the people about things. And it bounces to the minds of the people, but never hits the heart of the people. So when we are talking about an experience, we are talking about that inward relation, that inward knowledge between man and God. That God takes you in and tells you, now listen, I want to talk to you about this and that. And in closing from last Wednesday, I compare these things, and if you go with me to 1 Corinthians for a minute and read that before we continue, we were in 1 Corinthians 13:12, and you'll find out what we're talking about there. 1 Corinthians 13:12. The 13th chapter and the 12th verse. Listen what Paul is speaking about. On the 11th verse, you know, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. You know, all of us, sometimes I'm afraid we speak like children. Blah, blah, around here and there. And then he continues, I understand as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now he continues, for now we see through the glass darkly. But then face to face. Now I know. That's just the word gnosis, who means by human reasoning, by understanding, that I know God is there. But then shall I know as I also was known. That word known is epignosis, who means now I'm going one day, I'm going to know who I am. Oh, you see, I thought Paul knows who he is. None of us know who you are. You know, you get yourself in the corner and you find out who you are. You react, you fight, you do things that you feel bad later. You know? And then you say, well, I'm supposed to be a Christian. We're supposed to have this love and this love and this love, and I don't have it. But if you don't have the circumstance to test you, then what you are. Then you say, everything is all right. I'm super duper man and super duper woman. But you put you down to the test, you find out how much you got. So when we see this, and you start summarizing and looking, we know that the Gnostics was by reason. And when we study the revelation of Jesus Christ, we cannot study by reason. It's revelation. The veil has to be removed. And what do? We try to cover some materials that in there are certain things that God has to remove the veil for you and I. Now, these Gnostics, of course, they believe that it's a human effort, an understanding, a reasoning. And you know, all of us, we have reason. Do you understand that? All of us. And sometimes you can take a portion of the message, and Colossians is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, you say, I thought the revelation is. But just listen to the summary. And you say, Brother David, is that serious of a book? Do you know that only twice in the whole Bible appears the word Laodicean? That's Revelations and Colossians. Paul writes to the Laodiceans, tells them who they are. And we are in that age right now, that God pulls a bride out of the Laodiceans. And now we see that by revelation, we don't receive only the letter of the word to generate knowledge. We don't receive only that. You say, is studying the word a good thing? Absolutely, that's what we should do. Is listening the tapes a good thing to do? Absolutely, every day, as much as you can. But is this salvation? No. Salvation, an experience, a relation between you and God. Have you ever had a visitation from God? That visitation was so real that you can't even stay nowhere, but you have your Bible and you hold it and you say, I better sleep with it. I better put it under my pillow to make sure everything's all right. Everything's right here. I want that. I don't want anything. You know why? Because something tells you in your spirit that God is in this book. And then you open it, bang, everything alive. You open it again, everything alive. And you look at yourself and say, what am I doing anyway? I wish if I can close my mouth. This morning, I'm praying about something. I said that Wednesday. And Wednesday is to be able to control my mouth, not to say much or nothing. And you know where I was? Of course, that's an experience once in a while. That I was reading one verse. That was from James, the first chapter. The 19th verse, wherefore, beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. You know, by saying things, sometimes you grieve your spirit because you can't please anybody. And the formula of the ministry is this: no matter how you're going to serve the people through the scriptures, finally, they are going to kick you. That's the formula. Oh, Brother David, someone just read the scripture. Look at the prophets. Look what they have done. They kick them. And if you want to see, I better get out of it. Now, we cannot splice quotes or generate cults and doctrines outside of the scriptures. We cannot do that. Because revelation has to have its resting place. You know what's resting place? The Word of God. And how do you get a revelation? The Holy Spirit has to unveil it. Remove the veil to you. No matter if Cain was the brother of Abel. No matter if they came out of the same mommy. No matter who they are. God revealed himself to Abel and not to Cain. God has to reveal it to you. And you can see it with the closest relative, and you tell him, get saved, you go to hell. They'll look at you, oh, fine, pray for me. Go on. There's no, it's a wall, it's a dead end. And you say, I can't stand it. My granddaddy, my grandmother, my mother, my brother, my sister, they are lost, they're going to hell. What can I do? Lord, Lord, help them. You can scream all day and all night. God appreciates the prayer for our loved ones, and we should do that. But unless God removes that veil, there's nothing you can do. The only thing you do, you grieve yourself when you think you're going to do it. God has to do it. So now, that knowledge that we're talking about, we don't want to talk. Sometimes you study, you give only 2%, but I'd like to get you into a couple of things this morning. So to see what the Word of God is teaching us. Now, when we talk about epignosis is humanity's superior knowledge. And you go for a minute, I'm talking about epignosis, the depth of the relation of Jesus Christ. The removal of the veil. The removal of any human obstacle that's between you and God. And the only thing we do, we surrender to him. He says, you're bad. He says, Lord, I'm bad. You know what the Holy Spirit tells you? You're bad. You don't say, he did this, she did that. They did this, so I did that. That's excuses. That doesn't count nothing but trouble. So when God tells you, you have done that, the Holy Spirit says, yes, I have done that. Where do I go from here? Repent. Now, if you summarize, that's what I'm talking about, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Listen close. If you summarize the condition of Israel in one verse, that's a pretty powerful statement, you'll find in Hosea, the 4th chapter, and the 6th verse. So open your Bible with me to Hosea, the 4th chapter, and the 6th verse. The scripture says this, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now just hold for a minute. They're destroyed. Because thou have rejected knowledge, I will reject thee. And thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of God. I will also forget my children. Remember what he says, powerful words, my children. When you look at that, the first statement is my people are destroyed because of knowledge, because I have rejected knowledge. Let me just a minute translate it for you. Because you've got something to look at. Omiotheolaosmo, omios became similar. My people are similar. Os uk echon gnosin, that they don't have knowledge. Και εσύ επίγνωσιν apostle, because, remember now, he comes, that epignosis, not just knowledge. That epignosis means that relation of knowledge of God by the Holy Ghost and the revelation of Jesus Christ. You might know every quote of this message of every tape. It does not mean you are saved, period. You are saved by the blood of Jesus, not by the knowledge of quotes. You are receiving the Holy Ghost by experience. Remember, the devil knows this message and trembles. It takes more than the knowledge of the message. It takes the life of that message in the Word to be able to know that you are the bride material. The first part Hosea speaks about, os ukecho knowledge, because you have no knowledge. You don't want it. You see, you don't want it at all. He said, que si epignosi apesu. With other words, God is taking them now through testing and grounds to have epignosi, to have that relation with God. They didn't want it. They didn't want it. Did David say in Psalm 106, very clearly, Moses knew the ways of God. The people of Israel knew the acts of God. They don't want to know the ways of God. Just show us a big miracle. When they finish with that, says, what is next? I'm on the show business. You know, all this marvelous work that the Lord has done has never penetrated them to say, wait a minute. God is speaking. What am I doing? God sent a prophet. God sent a messenger in this hour. What am I supposed to be doing? Sitting on the porch philosophizing and fighting about quotes. What is the life of it anyway? We don't want that. You just study one in a million of the tape and you find out why. God now is telling us that there's a step that you never reject the epignosis. Never reject that inward knowledge he wants to give you. But I'm trying. They beat me up and this and that and so on. Don't just try to pass by that. When God is testing you, it's good to ask for a prayer request. But have you learned a lesson or you're messing around? What in the world are we doing? We don't want to learn. You know, the College of Education is the lowest degree of a college in any university. I have no respect for it and I work for it. They have no subject counted for nothing. The only thing they have, bulletin boards and discussion groups. Blah, blah, around. I'm not talking about secondary, I'm talking about elementary. They finish AA degree from a college, they might take PE and this and that. They go to university, 36 hours methods, no subject get to teach. 18 hours for electives, 6 hours American government, constitution. They accumulate another 64 to get a degree. You have a warm body coming out without any knowledge. I'm saying this for a reason. I never forgot one time, one of my students says, David, I have an offer from the superintendent to become the head of the math department. And I said, Sue, you don't even know what's going on. He said to me, I know, but I'm going to go ahead anyway. 3 credits in math, direct the whole school system for math. Sometimes you are the same thing. Somewhere, God wants to take us to another step closer to Him. To say, because He says, oh, lack of knowledge, what happened? I got a quote, you got a quote, let's fight it. I got a scripture, you got a scripture, let's fight it. He wants to take you now to something which is called epignosis, to go into the depth to understand the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is it? Is He in me? Does He live in me or visits me? Paul uses the term dwell. We don't get up in this. He says the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. Because some people get a visitation, they think they got it all. You know, you cannot get through an emotional fit and you think everything's okay. It's a constant experience with God. The bride of Christ is a group that follows God. And listen what he says there. He says, see epignosin apetho. The epignosin, that depth of knowledge. So you stay away from it. You have nothing to do with it. You reject it. It's to repel or to drive back. This is powerful. God wants to deal with me and with you. And when the dealing comes, the testing comes, the trial, none of us like it. Me first, and I have to admit it. But we've got to see inside on it that God is trying to teach me something and don't push it away. That word apetho means to reject, to repel, to drive back. Well, I don't want it. And then I can't endure it. But by grace, He's going to carry us through. Correct? He will never give you more than you can endure. That's what God's measuring by. Not how much you're going to fall, but He's going to keep you. He'll never give you more than you can endure. He did the same thing with Job. He says, take that man, go ahead, but you can't touch his life. That's a pretty good guarantee, isn't it? So no matter what you're going to do, God's going to keep you. That's a good guarantee. So what happened? They kicked Job around, his own friends, and turn against him, and you're no good. They put him outside of the village in a manure pile. That's why they had him, because he was a sick man. One of the patriarchs that walked in the streets like he was speaking of the young student when he walked by. But now, listen to what he says. The natural blindness is a terrible thing. Here we're getting into some things that we have to face them. The natural blindness is a terrible thing. But you can get a man to carry you around. You can get a dog and carry you around. But spiritual blindness, unless God opens your eyes, there's nothing can be done. Period. The only thing you see, monkey do. Oh, they go to church, I go to church. They wear a dress, I wear a dress. They got long hair, I got a long hair. They believe in the message? I believe too. But I'm talking about a Holy Ghost experience. That the person is torn to pieces, waiting for the coming of the Lord. When you got up this morning, did you say probably the Lord is going to come any minute? Or when you get fed up with the world. He said, I wish if you comes quickly. With other words, I can't stand it now. I don't have my way. I want the Lord to come over to get me out of the mess. No, no. It's a desire of love desire. Correct? It's a desire there. So Hosea saw that. He says, see Epignosis in Apetho. That depth of knowledge, you stay away. You brush it off. You stay behind. You drive back. With other words, I'll stay away from you too. Never, never, I know it's painful. Never reject the university of Jesus Christ. What he's teaching you. There's a reason for it. The lesson of today might keep you tomorrow. You send your kids to school. Sometimes you try to register for a course. This is you cannot register because there are prerequisites. Have you ever heard of that term before? There's a lot of prerequisites that Jesus takes us through before we face some trials later. Because if we try to face these trials, we're going to flank the course. So he's taking us through prerequisites. I love that. Isn't it beautiful? To know that he doesn't dump us in a class that will feel so much like dummies, we don't even know what they're talking about. You know? But you got a prerequisite. God is testing me here. You know? Blessed is the man that God rebuke and chasten. Because he says, whom I love, I rebuke and chasten. Repent therefore. Be zealous and repent. You know, you see somebody's trials, somebody's testings. Don't laugh with it. They might be blessed, and you might be in trouble. Don't laugh with it. So now the natural person, like I said, the natural man, you carry them around. A dog can carry them around. I've seen students, like I mentioned other times in school, the dog carries them, knows the class number. Looks there outside and recognizes the number of the course. Recognize what course is before, what course is after. Takes the students around, looks for an empty chair, moves around, the dog sits next to the person. But spiritual blindness is a terrible thing. And no man can open his eyes, but God has to open them. So be graceful and thankful for what God has done for you. Start your prayers. Lord, thank you. Not like a Pharisee. Lord, thank you that you permitted me to hear a message this hour by revelation instead of a letter, instead of a denomination, instead of this or that. So God now continues with Hosea. Apostle Messiah will push you away. Kemi, you are treving me, and I will not heal you. Look what God is doing. I will reject thee. He says that thou shalt be no priest to me. God removes the priesthood. I watch that. Sometimes people in churches all over the country, they're fussing, they're arguing, they're fussing. The preacher did this, the preacher did that, the preacher did this. By the time they get through, they get upset, the devil gets a hold of them. And listen, what happened? They got kids, they walk out. No place to go, no prayer, no fellowship. The believers are not there. What happened? Oh, listen, tapes. By the time they finish with the tapes, everything deteriorates. Deteriorates. Because there's a unity of believers. A unity of believers. That strength there. Do you know that? There's strength right there. So now Hosea, of course, he had it about what was going on. And that rejection, because he has rejected knowledge, we break it into two things. Number one, the means of knowledge is rejected. The means of knowledge is rejected, number one. Brother David, what is this means of knowledge that's rejected? Just keep in mind back Colossians 1. That means of knowledge, God can put a test and a trial to teach you, but you don't want it. God can use the ministry to help you, but you don't want it. You want to argue. Did you preach to me? Yes, if you need it, yes. Correct? That's what we're here for. This is the house of correction. The people today don't know the difference between worshiping God and entertainment. They don't. They know nothing. Nothing. Seems to me, years ago, men acted different, women acted different. You go sometimes to mess a church and you say, what's the difference from where I came from? The whole thing is just modeling around. With our new clothes, with our new slit skirts and everything. Go with it. Right? What you have? A mess. Oh, that's the pastor's wife. She needs it more than anybody else. But we're in a state that the people don't want to say anything. They're sinking and they don't want to face it. But that's the truth. So the first, we reject the means by which this knowledge comes. When I say knowledge, this is epigmasy. I try to avoid repeating that word, epigmasy. That, we reject that. The second one, we refuse to be guided by it. We don't want it. We don't want the guidance of it. I don't want it. It bothers me. Give me something to make me laugh. I had people one time, a family, that came and said to me, I cannot come anymore there. I said, why? He said, well, I want to go to church and feel good. They don't want it. They don't want it. They want to feel good. I says, go down. There's entertainment somewhere. You'll find it. If it's not out in the world, you'll find it in this message churches or somewhere else. Go on. But you know, that will not sustain you. You're in trouble at the end. So we want to be guided by our mental facilities. You say, Brother David, mental facilities, and not by the Holy Spirit. We like to splice codes. Instead, we have taking our own way instead of looking for God's, Lord, give me the life of it. I want that epignosis of God. Do you know that in the revelation of Jesus Christ in Colossians, there are warnings there? Are you familiar? Earthly good sometimes can be a hindrance to us. Do you know sometimes when you look at Colossians? Let's look and see the warning. I will do a very little on it on the second chapter of Colossians, where we're talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let no man, on the 18th verse, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding unto those things which they have not seen. How many people today splicing coats, intruding into those things which they have not seen, tell me. All over the place, right? They figure out it. And listen to what he says after that. Vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. That is not epignosis, that's gnosis, the Gnostic idea. Oh, I know that the rapture will come in 2 seconds. And somebody, there were two young ladies came from overseas. I know their fathers, they are ministers. And they came over before they hit the airport to go to the store by. So many doctrines, just we can't believe it. Somebody says the rapture is going to come and the pastor is going to be told first. And then he's going to take the phone and call the congregation to get ready for the rapture. And all. What is that stuff? The rapture will take place in the twinkling of an eye. It's gone. You know? Puffed up by their fleshly mind. Carnality. They are the Gnostics of the message. They are the hindrance of the Spirit of God to move among the people. I was telling some people, I says, I don't know if I agree how much with Harry Truman. He says, if the kitchen gets too hot, if you can't stand it, get out of it. And I say, if you can't bring your coats to the scriptures, get out of the pulpit. That's the bottom line of it. Splicing doctrines and quotes. And we're in a mess that we have ever been before. Why? We don't want to hear it. We don't want to have the Lord. Isn't it better somebody to blab around the patio or somebody that sits in their knees and you can see the change of life? Tell me. I have seen changes of lives here. Many, many people, many brothers and sisters. You take them 10 years ago, they are not the same. 5 years ago, they are not the same. They are moving on with the Lord. They got their up and downs? Yes, like me and everybody else. But they get up and going. What happened? God is training them to something which is called epignosis, something deeper. You know? Paul speaks about babes in Christ, fine, but we grow up, isn't it? Eh? I'm thankful to the Lord for healthy children, but sometimes you see, I was at the airport taking Brian to go to Europe Friday, and right next to him was a young fellow. A young boy in a wheelchair, strapped in, going, shaking his head, rolling his eyes, you know, a miserable state to look at. I said, Lord, thank you for what you have done in our lives. You look something like that, right? Thank you. I could have been the one. And you know, you're wondering, will this boy ever recover? You don't know. You want to believe it will be better. But as Christians have been promised, if we let Him, His doctor Jesus will take us closer and closer to Him. At the time that we don't know where to go and what to do, that's the time of desperation. That we run to Jesus and says, I have only one thing left, just you. Right? Just you. And when we go to church, the only thing we do, we get trained. We talk about the scriptures. And then what God is bringing to reality, let's listen to what He has to say. That life in us. In closing, because we don't have any time, that epignosis that I'm talking about, it's not really an outside knowledge. It's not because you listen to a tape. That's beautiful and you need it. It's not just, but it's the life of the Lord comes in you. Now, this kind of a relation is not the fleshly mind that we read in Colossians 2. This is the Spirit of God in man. You say it's a spirit? Yes. These two words frequently appear together, Sophia and synesis, wisdom and intelligence, or the two words, one thing to know, and the other thing, gnosis and epignosis. One thing to know, the other one to be part of the inside source. The attorneys call it the law and the spirit of the law. The law is the letter. Kill that man, kill that woman. The spirit of the law. What was the intent of the law as written? Look with me real quickly in a couple, three verses, and then we'll go from there. Isaiah 11, 2. Isaiah 11, 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Remember now what we're reading. The Spirit of wisdom. He says, I want wisdom. It's a spirit that you have to get from God. You know what that Spirit of wisdom will do to you? Before me and you open our mouths, He'll say, shut your mouth up. How do you like that kind of a gospel? The spirit of wisdom, he says, and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. You're dealing now, not what you're going to do, You might be biting your tongue, not saying anything. What we're talking about when that spirit gets a hold of me and of you, bring us to another level. So now we are talking about spiritual. God has to do that in me and in you. And that's what things are controlled by. You've got to recognize it's a spirit. You cannot have revelation by your human mind. God has to reveal it. Listen to that tape, Christ, the Mystery of God, revealed over and over. Throughout, you find one general statement that's made. God has to reveal it to you. So in that sphere, when God deals, we know that God now is speaking. Once and we are there, let's look a little bit farther on Isaiah 29:14 before we close a couple of verses. Isaiah 29:14. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among his people, even a marvelous work and wonders. For the wisdom of the wise man shall perish. You remember there are wise people that know everything, know it all. They figure out when the rapture is going to take place. They broke up the seventh seal. Brother Branham says, you won't let us know. They want to break it anyway. These are so-called wise in the world. And the understanding of the prudent man shall be hid. So when God speaks, when God deals, has nothing to do with the wise people. You know, the foolishness, God looks at the ways of God as foolishness. I mean, the people look at the ways of God as foolishness. I'm sorry. They don't understand it. How you can figure out Jehovah God, the Creator, coming around, walking around, meeting a woman at the well, says, woman, give me a drink. How do you figure that out? You expect to come with big robes, go to the Sanhedrin, stay there. I think sometimes on the books that we work with, behind a garage, a man said to me one time in Georgia, he said, Brother David, you must have a big building for that. I said, yeah, I got a 3-story building, you know. See what he's going to say. You don't need that stuff. You need to do the job the best you can. And go on. Let's go to the Pentateuch, the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is from the word of Deuteronomion, who means the second law. The book of Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter. And the 6th verse. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall bear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What do you base the whole verse, the key thought? Listen to the key word, the statement. Keep therefore and do them. This is beyond gnosis or knowledge. This is epignosis. It's why the Holy Spirit starts moving you right into Christ, and you take that knowledge and the power of the Holy Ghost to fulfill what God has for you. You can listen to the word. You can understand, but unless the Holy Ghost comes and makes it alive, there's nothing can be done. Look at Paul's first state. He knew the law. He says, I'm blameless to the law. With other words, what the law says, I do. But I count all these things done. Remember what I said about the word done. You look at this word, means the waste of a dog. All your knowledge of all your religious forms. But I know this, I remember to memorize the Bible, I memorize every tape. Where is the life of Jesus? That's the bottom line that I'm going to ask you. You don't stand in the day of judgment to say how much you know the message. But you stand on one base, if Christ lives in you or not. If that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me and in you, we'll be caught up to be with Him. The rest of it is knowledge and human effort. Well, I've done this for God, this for God. We haven't done nothing. It's His grace that you and I exist. There's nothing else. His grace. Let's look one more scripture. Proverbs 16:20. I love the word, don't you? I cut so much out. Proverbs, the 16th chapter and the 20th verse. He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good. And those trusted in the Lord, happy is he. You say, Brother David, what is that? You trust the Lord to do it and not yourself. Correct? You trust the Lord to do it. Get your hands out of it. You fuss and argue, get your hands out of it. Let the Lord do it. You know, I know the kids need to be saved and so on. But also I'm thankful for many things with the kids. You know, I'm thankful. You see, you trust the Lord to do it. That's your measure of wisdom. And not yourself. When you go home, also read Daniel 2:20. That wisdom and mighty is His. It's not yours. It comes from Him, right? One time a man asked me, he said, Brother David, what's the difference between wisdom and knowledge? I says, wisdom is one thing. Knowledge is something different. Knowledge is gnosis, who know. Epignosis is what? To know the depth of it. But what's wisdom? Wisdom is the power that takes that epignosis and tells you what to do, what not to do, and controls you. Because what good to do to have wisdom into knowledge without the power to fulfill it? How many times you and I, we open our mouth and then we say, I should have shut up. Right? I shouldn't have said a word. Why? It needs some power beyond that to know what to do and what not to do. I like the revelation of Jesus Christ, don't you? What do? Prepare the preliminary to see how He came down. He emptied Himself, all the attributes, and continued to see on the second chapter that He's the head of all principalities and powers. And everything, and the warning comes, says, don't let anybody peel your brain with a voluntary humility, with other words. Or, you know, they come so sweet, and they shake your hand. They act exactly like this, like that, you know. You know, they give you lots of vocabulary, what they believe. But let's look for the life. Let's look for that. And go on after that. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, this morning there were many things said. We're just moving, Lord, in the first step of the revelation of Jesus Christ. the difference between gnosis and epignosis. The difference between that, you have to do it, Lord. You have to remove the veil. It's a spirit of revelation, and it's not man can remove that veil but you. Bow heads, Lord, this morning and say thank you for permitting us to hear, Lord, to hear a message declare the life of Jesus Christ, to see, Father God, that that message live in a man and manifest the life of Jesus. Lord, we want to be like you. We want that spirit of Jesus to dwell in us so strong that we don't look to the right, we don't look to the left. We look to you, Lord. Lord, wake us up to open our eyes to see, Lord, the symptoms of failures. To see that when we look the mistakes of others, it's because of our lack of a relation between us and you, that epignosis. Because if we knew who we are, we'll put our hands in our mouth and we'll say, like Job said, we'll speak no more. Please, Lord, help us. Forgive us, Lord, from our mistakes, trespasses. Be with the absent body, the provincials on vacation, and Sister Lisa traveling today, come back. Be with Sister Iris and her mother at the hospital, Lord. Touch that body right now. Thank you for what you have done already, Lord. Lord, we love you. Be with each one of my brothers and sisters. What can we say, Lord? Everything is up to you. Lord, like I said, a man that's natural blind can be led by a dog. But spiritual blindness, no man can lead anybody. You have to do it, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord, to see. Open our eyes, Lord, as we come to the introduction of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Look at your word. Believe it and pray so that that word can be applied in our lives. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Let's close with our chorus. Search me, O God, and know my heart, I pray. Amen. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior. I pray, there'll be some wicked ways in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. May be dismissed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.